This is not Louisville, Kentucky, and I am not Mike Gutterman, but this is the Negative Positives Podcast. You're probably asking yourself, what in the hell is going on? And that's a really good question. Hang on, I'll be right back to try to explain it. All right, so I am Mike Williams, and you guys may know me, you may not know me. I've been on the show quite a few times over the years, sometimes as a guest, other times just as a call-in. I used to also do some really, really goofy intros. But hey, Gutterman and I are pretty good friends. We talk a lot during the mornings. It's a weird thing. He's getting home, I'm leaving home, and yeah, it just works out. So somehow we came up with the idea of me doing this, and you know, I'm not ambitious enough to call this a listener takeover or any of that. This is more like me just borrowing the keys and taking it for a spin around the block, maybe promising not to scratch it and bring it back with a full tank of gas. So anyway, it's just me. I don't have a guest. I don't have a co-captain, not a co-captain, not a cabin boy, none of that. I also don't have a script. I don't have an outline. And I don't have a very, very good plan. So, whew, now that I think about it, this has a good possibility of sucking. I hope not. I'm going to do the best I can. So just bear with me. So, I actually like the format of the show. I'm going to stay with that. So here's the part where I talk about what I've been up to lately. And I've been up to some pretty cool stuff, I think. So my kids, well, I don't even know if I can call them kids anymore. They're getting ready to turn 16. I have twins, boy-girl twins. So don't, I know a lot of people can't even comprehend that all twins are not identical. I've had some really, really smart people ask me if my kids are identical. And I'm like, no. See, the boy has boy parts, and the girl has girl parts. I can verify this because I changed a lot of diapers back in the day. So, anyway, that's another story for another podcast. So, like I said, they're getting ready to turn 16 in a couple of weeks. And it's a big time in their life, you know. So, I took some portraits of them with their first cars. And I shot those on my Yashica mat with some Kodak Gold, and yeah, I thought they turned out pretty good, and just thought that was like something you would just really, really want to have, you know, because I've got some photos of myself back with my first car, and they're honestly not great photos. They're just some snapshots that I guess maybe my mom took or something. I don't know. I don't even know who took them. Don't remember taking them. But it's just me and my 74 Oldsmobile Cutlass. That thing was badass. I wish I'd have never sold it. But anyway. So yeah, I did that. And like I said, I thought they turned out pretty cool. So let's see. What else have I been up to? Oh. So if you know me, you know that one of my big things was just trying to give up the whole gas thing. You know, getting away from buying all these cameras and trying different cameras and all of this. And, you know, just shoot what I had, shoot what I really, really liked. And I've been very successful in that. I hadn't bought a camera in forever. But the one thing is, when I gave up buying cameras, it's like people came out of the woodwork and they're like, hey, I found this old camera. Do you want it? And of course I'm going to take it, right? Because that's what we do. So recently a buddy of mine texted me, said, hey, I found this really, really old camera. Would you want it? And I was like, yeah, sure. So he brings it and gives it to me. Well, it is a Canon IX. And that is an APS camera, if you don't know. You know, the hottest trend in film photography. It's taking the world by storm. And I have dabbled in some APS before and had some pretty good success with this. I was pretty excited about that. And I don't know why, but APS just burns some people's asses. Like, I don't get it. But anyway, so I thought that was a great reason for me to post a photo of the camera in the group, right? And I'm really, really glad I did, because Tim Kerwin commented on it. He's like, hey, you know, if you want some film, you know, shoot me a message. So, of course, I did. And man, Tim is so cool. He sent me a couple rolls of film. Turns out he lives in Charlotte. And I'm, you know, maybe just a little over an hour outside of Charlotte. Hopefully one of these days Tim and I can get together and shoot or talk cameras or drink some coffee or something. Anyway, and by the way, check out Tim on Instagram, right? It's T-I-M-M Kerwin. And man, he's got some very, very cool stuff. Let's see, what else did I do? Oh, all right, speaking of Charlotte, Biggs Camera decided to have like a, I guess over in the UK, you guys would call it a car boot sale. Is that it? So yeah, all of these people who wanted to sell some stuff, buy some stuff, trade some stuff, got together in the parking lot of Biggs one, I think it was a Sunday morning, right? And so I went. And I went mostly as a social event, right? Because, like I said, I'm not into buying cameras, any of that. But I'll tell you what I did do. I rolled up on this guy selling some expired film. And I got like a box of Fuji 400H, right? Medium format. And a box of Portra 800, medium format. And the guy practically gave it to me. He charged me like $10. So I was like, wow, super cool, super cool. Also bought a really big camera bag from a guy for $10. And it looked like it was brand new. So, and it fit what I needed to do really, really well. Because, well, man, I'm getting off track with this, but who cares? So I shoot a lot of my son's baseball games. And I shoot it on digital, and I shoot it on film with really big lens, right? And my normal camera bag just can't handle it. But with this one, I can have two bodies with the lens on, and now it's heavy as hell, but it's in there. So, all right, that is what I have been up to. And tell you what, let's end this segment, and when we come back, maybe I'll answer a few questions. Oh, I should probably give a disclaimer on that too, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And we're back. Okay, before I get into any of these questions, let me just go ahead and start this out by saying that I am in no way whatsoever qualified to be giving you any advice. So do not consider anything I say on this podcast or any other podcast advice. What I'm saying is this is how I look at things. This may be what I do, but yeah, don't take this as me telling you what to do. And as a matter of fact, if anybody tries to tell you what you need to be doing with your photography, yeah, don't listen to that. Because, you know, the whole film community, number one, it's awesome, but it's a really, really big umbrella. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about? So say we had some film photographers in a room, right? And over on one side of the room, you had the guys who were really, really into like the precision and the sharpness and, you know, just everything that goes along with Leicas. Well, over in this other corner, you've got the guys who absolutely hate that, and they're going with the plasticness and the craziness and everything that's Holga. Okay. On the other side, you may have those guys who are into, say, the SLRs and autofocus and, you know, big lens and all of that. And then over on the other side, you may have guys who are into a pinhole camera that they made out of a damn can of tomato soup, right? So we're all into different stuff, and that's really, really cool, because if everybody did the same thing, that'd be really boring, right? So what I'm saying, you do you, and don't let anybody else tell you what to do. All right, having said all of that, let's move on. I get this question a lot, and you know, it may be worded differently, but it's the same thing. And it's basically the whole film versus digital, and it's like a two-parter, right? They asked me about film versus digital and my thoughts on that. And I guess they do that because I shoot a lot of both. And then they also asked me, well, when do you decide, you know, when you're going to shoot digital and when you're going to shoot film? And I'm going to tell you, I do not look at this as a versus at all. Like, you can just take the versus out and put and. It's digital and film. Because it's two different ways of accomplishing the same thing, right? And honestly, the only people who are caught up in the whole film versus digital is us. We're the only people who give a shit. A good example would be like my wife. She's not a photographer, but she's got a great eye. And, you know, I'll show her photographs, like, say, the kids. I've been taking photographs of my kids since they were maternity photos, right? On up to the photos I was telling you about earlier of, you know, their 16th birthday and the cars and stuff. So that's quite a while. So we'll round it up. We'll say 17 years I've been taking photos of these kids, right? And I'll show my wife some photos. I don't show her all of them. I do like the portfolio thing, right? I only show her the best ones. I don't show her the crap that I shoot. And the thing about my wife is she will not sugarcoat what she's telling me, right? And that's good and bad, even if it breaks my soul sometimes. She'll say, ooh, I don't like this one. And she'll tell you why she doesn't like it, or she'll be like, ooh, I really like this one. But out of those 17 years and all of the critiques that she's gave me, not one single time has she said, hey, what'd you shoot this on? Right? Because it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the image. Like, what does it look like? You know, and I think if we could just get past that whole film versus digital thing, I think we'd be a lot better. But hey, that's just my opinion. And, you know, I know there's some guys out there who shoot all film. And if that works for you, man, that's fantastic. But for me, it doesn't work. So I do what you do. All right, now part two of that was how do I decide what I'm going to shoot? And, you know, I thought about that after they asked me. And I was like, you know, I don't really make that decision. That's like asking a mechanic, hey, when do you decide to use the metric tools and when do you use standard tools? Well, that depends. Are you working on an Audi or are you working on a Chevrolet? Right? I mean, you let the situation tell you what to use. A lot of times when I'm shooting digital, it is at a baseball game and I'm taking photos of my son. And the reason I'm shooting digital is because social media has become insanely important in college recruiting, right? And like, you've got to upload these photos and videos of the tournaments you're in then. Like, they don't want to see it 2 weeks from now, right? So I don't know about your process, but I just can't turn around some film that quick, okay? I mean, I'm not going to shoot a bunch of film run out to the back of my SUV, process it. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You know, with digital technology now, like as I'm taking photos, it's shooting them straight to my phone, sometimes my tablet, you know, depending on what I felt like taking that weekend. And yeah, I can have stuff uploaded before the game even ends. So that's a no-brainer. That's a digital situation. But, you know, there are other times where I'm just wanting to take some photos for me and, you know, film is what I go with because I enjoy that whole process. So there's definitely, for me, there's a time for each of them, you know, and just go with the flow. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, my son had his last tournament of the year. And you may think that, okay, you've got a SLR, you've got a big lens, you're outside. Taking photos of these baseball tournaments must be easy. Well, it is easy. Taking good photos is the hard part. And yeah, I take a lot more bad ones than I do good ones, I'll be honest. But for whatever reason, all the stars aligned, and I got some really good shots at this tournament. And I'll tell you what, things like the field you're at, like if you're at a really, really nice field, that helps a lot. And at some fields, the fence just isn't photographer friendly. Like it's hard to get the right angle. It's hard to shoot through the fence. It's just hard. At some fields, you're not really on the field level. You're up above it. You're trying to shoot down. That makes for an odd angle. But at this particular tournament, everything lined up. And I took probably the best photos I've took maybe all year at a tournament. So I was pretty happy with those. I posted a couple on Facebook, and a guy I know from the local camera club, his name's Randy, he sent me a message just wanting to know like what kind of gear I was shooting. So I thought I would do a what's in your bag for a baseball tournament kind of thing. So I have a digital body, and I have a Nikon film body. I have the Nikon N90S. Hey, do you know over in Japan and Europe, that camera is much cooler because they call it an F90X. And the font's different. It's super cool. Speaking of weird naming, you guys say Nikon or Nikon? I don't guess it matters, but I always say Nikon. But I guess you sound way cooler if you pronounce it Nikon. Maybe use a little accent when you do it. So anyway, I've got those two bodies. I've got an 80 to 200, 2.8, and that used to be plenty of lens when he was younger, because at baseball fields, like say the small local community fields, the distance between like say the foul line and the fence isn't that much, right? So 200 millimeters, you can reach right out. My son plays first and third and pitches. So yeah, 200 millimeters was fine. I could get some good shots with that. But as they get older, foul territory becomes more. So that puts a lot more distance between you and the players, right? So I got on eBay and I found a 300 2.8. And I looked at the price and I was like, man, this has got to be a scam, right? Because it was just like too good to be true. And I looked at the seller's feedback and stuff. It looked good, right? So I was like, I'm going to risk it. And, you know, if I get scammed, maybe PayPal's got my back. I don't know, but I'm going to risk it. So, and the seller was in Japan. And I've bought a lot of stuff from guys in Japan. And I've never had a bad experience. Those guys are super cool. And so anyway, it comes, I open the box, and man, this thing looks brand new. If it's ever been used, I can't tell it. It's probably one of my better eBay purchases. I was really happy about that one. So anyway, got those two bodies. I've got those two lens. I've also got a 50 millimeter lens in there. Not gonna lie to you, I never ever take it out, but hey, it's in there just in case, right? And I got the other stuff. I got a battery charger, right? I got batteries. One cool thing about the N90S is it just takes double A's. So if I spazzed out and didn't bring some batteries, it wouldn't be a huge deal to find a CVS and, you know, get some batteries for the next game or whatever. So I got that. I normally shoot black and white film. I do that just because I want it to be very different from what I shot with my DSLR. So, and I just like the look of it. So got that. Let's see what else is in there. Honestly, that's about it. And one thing I don't have, but I'm thinking about adding for next season, is a monopod. I'm just not into carrying a bunch of crap, though. You know, I guess I'm a minimalist. If it's something I don't need, I just don't like dragging it around. But I can see how it would really help me out. So, yeah, I may not. We'll see. And, yeah, that's what I take to your average baseball tournament. Okay, this next question comes to me from a longtime friend of mine and a friend of the show. I think he holds the record for the most appearances on the podcast, and that is Sean Nelson. If you don't know Sean, he is the guy behind UtahFilmPhotography.com. And if you've never checked out that website, man, clear your schedule and go check it out, because there is a wealth of information on there about almost any camera you could even think of, because I think Sean has shot them all. But I've got to think maybe he's trying to set me up on this one, because he's asking me a question that for whatever reason it seems to rub a lot of people the wrong way. I know if you're in a Facebook group and this topic comes up, yeah, grab the popcorn, because it's going to be a show. And that is the question on rebranded or respooled or repackaged film, whatever you want to call it. And I think most of us know exactly what I'm talking about, but if you don't, it's where a company takes a pre-existing film stock and then just changes the label and sells it as something else. Sometimes they'll put their own twist on it. I know some companies seem to be doing this thing where they'll take some film, pre-expose it to some light leaks and stuff, and then sell it. And I've seen some of those. It can look pretty cool. Not really something I'm into, but still very cool. CineSteel does it. They take 500T, remove the rim jet layer, and then sell it as CineSteel. Some companies are more straightforward with it. They'll just take, say, some Fomapan and put a new nifty label on it and sell it as something else. And, you know, it is what it is. I know, I think there are a couple that really, really seem to tick people off. And I think they're just, people believe they're trying to be dishonest or, you know, misleading or dishonest or whatever. I think I made up my own word there, didn't I? Mishonest. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really see it as that, because most of us know what it is. The only people who may be a little confused by it would be someone who's new to the whole film thing. And, you know, then it would be a problem. I tell you, the ones that I really like are the film stocks that we really just wouldn't have access to any other way without somebody repackaging it. And that's like, say, the ones from FPP, some of that super low ISO stuff. Yes, it's films that you couldn't get without them doing the, you know, the hard part for you. Some of those films aren't even really intended for photography. I know they're for audio recording or something. So, yeah, that's pretty wild. Then I guess people think,
maybe in a way this is hurting the film manufacturers. And I don't believe it is, because say if you were going to like repackage a whole bunch of Foamipan, then you know you had to make an initial pretty substantial purchase from the manufacturer. And you know, CineSteel, I'm sure they make a huge purchase from Kodak. So the manufacturers are, they're doing okay on it. And I don't think it would hurt the sales of other films, because you know, most of these repackaged films, they've got like some sort of a gimmick, right? And while people may shoot a roll or two here or there, I don't think it's anything, you know, substantial enough to hurt the film sales of other stuff. You know, one good thing is it seems to get people excited about shooting film, you know, and you know, if people get excited, buy some film, shoot some film, that's definitely a good thing, right? So yeah, and you know, if it makes you mad, then don't buy it. That's my advice right there. If it makes you mad, don't do it. But hey, you do you. Okay, the fourth and final question comes to us from Denise on Instagram, and that is Denise G316. You know, I'm not sure if that's her birthday or if she's just a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. Give me a hell yeah. All right, some of you may know what I'm talking about, and others are like, what? So anyway, and definitely check out Denise on Instagram, because she's probably one of the most creative people I know. So Denise asked me that, other than social media, how do I share my work? Well, number one, I am extremely hesitant to even call anything I do quote unquote work. That sounds like super pretentious of me to even say that. So we'll just call it my stuff. I guess that's more fitting for what I do. And Denise and everyone else, be prepared to be extremely underwhelmed, because you know, my subjects are it's 100% my family, and I'm not really putting it out there. Like I'm not making zines about my family. I'm not selling prints of my family. And you know, my stuff hardly ever goes outside of my home. I've got some prints framed. I should probably change out some of them more often than I do. And you know, a long time ago I thought I was going to do photo albums, and it really didn't take me very long before I went, yeah, this isn't going to work. Because I was going to have way, way too many photo albums, and it was just going to consume like so much space. And so what I did, I found like a photo box system at a Hobby Lobby, and I'm going to try to explain it as best I can. It's going to be difficult without being able to see it, but imagine like a briefcase, right? Made out of photo-friendly materials, archival, acid-free plastic, and all that good stuff, right? So inside of that briefcase-type box, you would have two rows of 10 smaller boxes, right? Those boxes are whole 5x7s, I believe. So yeah, you got 20 boxes inside of a big box. And each small box will hold quite a few prints. And yeah, I've got several of those briefcase-like boxes with prints in them. And I should probably say that, you know, I'm not printing out every photo off of every roll or anything like that. I don't know what you guys' keeper ratio is, but honestly, I get about two or three off of a roll that I really, really like and I think are you know, worth printing, and those go in the box. So, and I wish I had more to answer you, but that is it. You know, a lot of the prints, you know, maybe I showed my wife or the kids, and some of them I just sort of put in the box. I'm like, you'll enjoy this later. You know, it's sort of like a old school savings bond or something. It's okay today, but I think it'll be worth a lot more later. So anyway, I know that sounds probably kind of cheesy, I don't know, but yep, that is about it for my photo sharing. All right, well, I think this is it. I think this is the end of my time here. If you made it this far, thank you so much for just hanging out and listening to me talk nonsense. So, and a huge thanks to Mike Gutterman for letting me borrow the podcast. And yeah, I think I brought it back in one piece, right? So it was fun. I really don't know if I'll be doing another one or not, because I don't know. I don't have that much to say, right? And I don't know. I may not. We'll see. But anyway, hey, the music that you heard during the podcast, you know that was Mike Gutterman, right? And you can check him out on Bandcamp. A ton of music on there geared towards helping out you content creators, you YouTubers, you podcasters, all that good stuff. You know, you can support the podcast by going to ko-fi.com/negativepositives. If you are on Instagram, think about using the hashtag #negativepositives, and who knows, you may get a little shout out or something there. If you want to check me out on Instagram, it is Mike_on_film. So I think that's all of this stuff. If I forgot something, Gutterman will put it in later, right? So anyway, thanks again, and stay positive and take some cool film photos.
Thank you for listening to this listener takeover edition of the Negative Positives Podcast. If you would like to take over the Negative Positives Podcast and have your very own episode, it's very simple. Just talk about anything in your film photography journey and send that audio file to the email address negpositives@gmail.com. That is negpositives@gmail.com. You can also join our Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. We have an Instagram account under the account name Negative Positives. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives. And you can support this program on Ko-fi. That is ko-fi.com/negativepositives. Everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos. Gutter Man Cave Production!